Welcome to University United Methodist Church. I'm Steve Bacon, a member here, welcoming you on this wonderful Pentecost morning. If you are new to us, visiting us today, let me give you a few things to hopefully make your worship time run a little bit more smoothly. If you need to find out who we are and what we're about and what we do have this pamphlet, which you can find both at the back part of the church and certainly off to the side entrance. It has a number of items in it that let you know what we do and how you can participate in the life of our church. If you need additional things such as restrooms, so they're available outside to the door to my right, your left, if you follow the signs back, there's a ladies and men's room back there. We also have child care available if you have small ones that need to go back for that, and rocking chairs in the back of the sanctuary if you need, once again, either need to soothe yourself or a young child. Inside your bulletin, there's a number of items just let me quickly touch upon, one of which is a purple slip. What it does is a couple things for us. The top portion lets you share a concern or joy that you might have with us. We then share that later on during the service time in a time of prayer meditation. So you can fill that portion out and hand that to the ushers at the appropriate time. And then later on, or certainly further down, if you don't have a prayer request or concern, you can fill it out, let us know that you're here, and that's the attendance portion of it. Inside your bulletin, we have many, many things happening in the life of our church. Let me touch upon a few of them. We're going to have a cleanup Sunday here on June 10th from 9 to noon. So if you want to help us come, we're going to do a nice cleanup of the pews and the baseboards, table shelves, so forth within the building. Just show up and we'll be happy to direct you towards that. More importantly, if you have somebody in your life that is going to be graduating, either from high school or from college, please share that information with us because on June 25th, we'll have a chance to recognize them during the service. Many, many other items. There's a big outreach sheet, once again, of opportunities in there and other things for you to do. Do you have any nuts in? Oh. Also, the last thing before we have one very long announcement is that after the service, we'd love for you to join us back in the gathering room. Once again, you can exit out the doors to your right and follow back there. It's a time just to share what's happened in our week and kind of get us ready for the next week. Quick time to share some coffee or juice or water or something. And we have cake today. Ooh, even a bigger concern.
Good morning. I'm Jeannie Finlayson-Schuler. I am the chairperson of the Reconciling Ministries team. And today we are celebrating our sixth anniversary of University UMC becoming a Reconciling congregation. I want to welcome Penny Stringfield, member, and Steve Heiss, former pastor of Tabernacle UMC, and Roland Parker, who's also from Tabernacle. And they're from Binghamton, and they have been a Reconciling congregation for 9 years. And Jamie and Diana Breedlove Crouch, who are members of St. Paul's UMC and will bring us a message today in Ithaca, they celebrated 19 years of being Reconciling earlier this year. We also have Karen Norton, a former member here, and her partner, Nancy, who came down from Watertown to help celebrate with us. So, the Reconciling Ministries Network has been mobilizing United Methodists of all sexual orientations and gender identities to transform our church and world into the full expression of Christ's inclusive love since 1984. Over 800 United Methodist communities, churches, Sunday school classes, campus ministries, and annual conference groups have gone through the Reconciling process. These communities have approved a statement that specifically names welcome of people of all sexual orientations and gender identities as a witness for a fully inclusive church. This explicit welcome is necessary because the United Methodist Church holds official policies that exclude lesbian and gay people from the full life of the church. The Parents Reconciling Network of the UMC announced a STOLS project for General Conference in 2004. They invited all participants who felt called to witness on behalf of the full inclusion of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons in the life of the church to join them in wearing a rainbow stole, which they provided. UUMC underwent a year of study and discernment during the 2010-2011 church year. We studied the Bible, watched films, had discussions, listened to guest speakers, Some of you will remember the Shower of Stoles project that visited our sanctuary in honor of UMC pastors that have left our church due to UMC's harmful and offensive exclusionary policies about gay persons. We voted unanimously to join the ranks of Reconciling Congregations on June 5, 2011. That summer, Ted and I attended a Sing a New Song, a convocation for the Reconciling Ministries Network and the Methodist Federation of Social Action in Sandusky, Ohio. And that's where we met those Binghamton folks. The Parents Reconciling Network again provided all 700 participants a rainbow stole like this, and we're in the process of sewing more to hand out at General Conference 2012. I came back and invited some members of UUMC to help me make these stoles for our church. UUMC celebrated becoming a Reconciling Congregation in October 2011, and we handed out those rainbow stoles for people to wear. Here we are, 6 years later. Thank you for continuing our journey as a welcoming, inclusive community.
Thank you, Jeannie, for sharing the history and welcoming our guests and letting us know about these stoles that we see on the communion rail each week. So, welcome. So glad you're all here. I'm honored to say that I am the pastor here at University United Methodist Church, and I would like to extend a warm welcome to each and every one of you. I have one more quick announcement that I don't want to forget, but today we are handing out the draft of the bylaws of all the Syracuse United Methodist Churches incorporating. So just they are, if you haven't received it yet, it's just a draft. If you haven't received it yet, you can get them on the way out. And part two of that is on June 18th, we will have a congregational meeting to talk about these, okay? Because we want your feedback when we go to our leadership team meeting so that we can share whatever your feedback is about the draft with the Syracuse churches. And so know that we want to hear from you. Okay, so let's begin worship. I'm super excited. I see a lot of people wearing red. Why are we wearing red today? It's Pentecost! That's right! Welcome to Pentecost Sunday and our celebration of the 6th anniversary as a Reconciling Congregation. The butterfly has long been a symbol of the resurrection of Jesus, as well as the resurrection of believers as we emerge from the power of death. In this Easter season, we have examined our own transformations from cocoons and tombs to the unfurled beauty of all God calls us to be. Oh, the colors, the beauty, the unabashed and exuberant expression of all that we are together. This celebration is like no other, brought to its fullest embodiment as we emerge and dare new heights. In the emerging of the Jesus movement in the book of Acts, a series of events in the life of Peter led him to the understanding that God shows no partiality and all are welcome in the journey of a new life in Christ. Upon this rock, the Spirit builds a church that offers hope to the hopeless, strength for the weary, and new life to those who think theirs is over. Upon these things, this church will continue to this mission to a world that is so desperately needs a people who know the power of transformation. In the words of our theme song for this season, this is the day of new beginnings.
This is a day of new beginnings. Time to remember and move on. Time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone.
Good morning. I'm your liturgist, too. Would you please rise, if you're able, and join me in the call to worship. we gather in this time and place to worship God. So many years later, we gather. We have learned new words and written books of rules. We have heard the stories of our past. We come to create stories for the future. Like those disciples so many years ago, we are not sure we know the way. We are afraid to make mistakes. We are afraid to fail. But Christ calls us to carry on the blessing of discipleship, to move forward in love and faithfulness, so that all might find a place in our holy space, our church. So long as even one of us is left outside the door because of our cold-heartedness, so long as anyone is lonely, hungry, sick, in prison, naked, so long as any one of us is destitute of the great hope that is our future in Christ Jesus, raised up to set us free from death into holy and everlasting life. Every day is a new Pentecost, full of the promise and possibility that God offers. We are an unfinished church, but we are God's church. We are God's church, full of grace and love and hope. Today is a new Pentecost day. May we be birthed again into a new beginning. Let us join in singing our opening hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine, as displayed on the screen.
Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine, shine me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Mother's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored there, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations nation with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
We have a tradition at University Church of greeting one another by shaking hands or hugging and saying good morning or peace be with you. I invite you to pass the peace of Christ with your neighbors this morning by saying, may you be on fire for God today.
Good morning again. Could I have the children please come forward if they feel welcome to do that or open to do that? And let's sing the children forward.
For by the life and death of Jesus, love's mighty spirit now as then can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again.
How are you doing today? I'm glad to see all of you. Oh, we got to make our circle wider. We have three more friends. Whoop. Hello. So today I'm going to read a little bit from this book, Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. So has anyone read this before? Raise your hand. You've read it before? Oh, good. And you've read it before? Oh, and you've read it before? Oh, good. So there's some people who have read it before. All right. So we're not going to read every word, but we're going to read some of the words. All right. You ready for this? Oh, the places you'll go. Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have the brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the guy and girl you'll decide where to go. I'm kind of depend. Okay, I can't remember which pages I said. So here we go. Oh, the places you'll go. Nice. So what do we? Okay. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to great heights. Up on the big screen too, isn't it? I think this one. You won't, yep, nope. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true. The bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perk, and you, gang, will fly, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You can get so confused that you'll start to race down long, wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish, wild space, headed, I fear, toward a most useless place, the waiting place. Yeah, I think. Sorry, gang, I didn't mark my pages properly. All right, so I think that I'm gonna go ahead because I can't find that one. All right, you'll get mixed up, of course. As you already know, you'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. Be sure when you step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot from your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. Can you see it? You'll move mountains. I have one more awesome page. So, be your name Buxbaum or Bigsby or Bray or Morcadia, Allie Van Allen O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So, get on your way. So this whole book is about how we have places to go and things to do. And my question to all of you, because we've been talking about this the entire time that we've been talking about Emerge, who is going to be with us when we go to these places? God is going to be with us when we go to these places. God is going to be with us when we're moving mountains. God is going to be with us when we're in a bad place or a waiting place or we're sad. God will be with us on our journey and all the places that we go. So, will you pray with me today? Loving God, we thank you for your gift of presence. Please let us know, remind us, let us feel the wind on our back and around us, that you and the Holy Spirit are with us always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming and talking with me and listening to my book, or the places you'll go. And if anyone wants to look at this later, let me know, okay? And you can look at it with every single word. All right, if you would like, you can go sit with your families again or whoever brought you. And we have a great gift, the gift of music and our choir. Amen. Well, I guess I mixed things up, but luckily we have a top-notch choir that stepped in and a crew that was able to move things around. And that brings us to a time of prayer. If you would like your prayer request read as a part of worship today, as a part of our prayer time today, please fill out your purple slip and we will have some ushers come down to gather them and we will begin our time of prayer. So let's start our time of prayer with a song.
Then let us with a spirit daring step from the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths I'm sure to find. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is the day of new beginnings. God is making all things new.
Settle our hearts in an attitude of prayer.
I want to begin our prayer time with a short video of Bishop Karen Olivito urging us to be the beloved community as she spoke of her work as lead pastor at Glide UMC in San Francisco before being elected bishop. Afterwards, we will enter a time of silent prayer. I will then lead us in prayers from the Reconciling Ministries Network convocations and then into the Lord's Prayer. Please say the Lord's Prayer in whatever way helps you feel God's presence.
I watch, you know, I'm sitting up, I'm watching transformation happen. I'm seeing people's souls break open as this love washes into them and I see just hope begin to surface. Like, the world can be different. There is a beloved community I can be a part of. I can be a different person.
Let us pray. Gate-crashing, party-crashing God, on this day of celebration, we ask forgiveness. The forgiveness of all those of whom we, your church, have sought to exclude. The forgiveness of those who have experienced the church not as a means of grace, but as a roadblock to salvation. The forgiveness of those who have been told they are unworthy of your love and mercy. The forgiveness of those who have been made objects of scorn and derision, or worse. You are the very center of our lives and of life itself, but a center that is always moving, always on the fringes, always on the margins. Take us to the edges of our safe and ordered existence, that we might behold the grandeur of your vision and compassion, the jolt and wonder of adventure, that we might walk among the brokenhearted, the lonely, the despairing, the downtrodden, the forgotten, the outcast, and find you there among them, where you have always been, once more creating life and beauty and gladness anew. Remind us of our high calling, not to guard the gates of heaven, but to fling them wide open, not to hoard or limit your good news, but to be as free and generous with it as you have been with us. We pray in the name of the one who invited us and all into a new way of life and community in this world and in the world to come, and taught us to pray, saying, Greater God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We have two scriptures today, both from the book of Acts. The first one is from chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and relates the events of the first Pentecost. And Ralph Best, one of the people from our Reconciling Ministries team, will read that one.
Good morning. I had something happen today when I opened the front door. There was a chorus of birds, and it was wonderful. Pentecost. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest in each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
The second reading, chapter 10, verses 34 to 36, comes a little later as the church leaders are trying to understand how the non-Jewish Gentiles fit into the life of the new Jesus movement. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God. Please stand as you are able and join me in singing I Come With Joy, number 617 in the blue hymnal and also displayed on the screen.
I come with joy to meet the Lord, forgiven, loved, and free. In awe and wonder to recall his life laid down for me. His life laid down for me. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share each proud division end, the love that made us makes us one, and strangers now are friends, and strangers now are friends. And thus with joy we meet the Lord, his presence always near. In such friendship better known, we see and praise him here. We see and praise him here.
Please be seated. This Sunday is the combination of Pentecost, the anniversary of the reconciling vote, and the wrap-up of our Emerge series. Let us remember how the Holy Spirit has been working among us and will continue to emerge into something new again and again. We will start by hearing from Jamie and Diana how they dream their church will emerge. Alicia may ask a question or two and say a few words. Let me tell you a little bit about Jamie and Diana. Jamie Breedlove and Diana Crouch have been members of St. Paul's UMC in Ithaca for 14 years. They are chair and co-chair of the St. Paul's Reconciling Team. They are lay servants and process coaches who are trained to help churches begin working through the reconciling process. Jamie and Diana are leaders at the conference level by volunteering with the Upper New York Reconciling Team, where they oversee the reconciling table at annual conference, where I got some more of my stoles. Jamie serves on the Human Sexuality Task Force, and Diana serves on the District Committee on Ordained Ministry for the Finger Lakes District. They have been together for 18 years and have been married since 2008. They have two grown daughters, 30 and 24 years old. Welcome, Diana and Jamie.
This is too tall for me, but just right for her. So that's how we work out. So this is always great to be in Syracuse at your church. I remember the first time I walked in this building and was in awe of the beauty of it. And it's just been reflected in all of the years that we have come to know this congregation that we would always be in awe of how beautiful the building it is, which is just reflective of all of the beauty that comes through you guys as well. Well, we met, Steve and Penny and Roland back in way long years ago when their church was deciding to become reconciling, and we had heard of the reconciling movement through St. Paul's. When we came to St. Paul's, we had moved from Colorado in 1999. Dinah helps with the years and the dates. And we had come from the same denomination. Talk about what that is?
Assembly of God.
We were from the Assembly of God denomination. I was raised and born into the Assembly of God denomination in Texas. And Diana was born into the Assembly of God denomination in Groton, New York. After we met and decided that we would come back east together because Diana had family here and we needed a new place to call home, we brought our daughters who were then, how old were they? Five and 12. And then we came here. I, of course, began to look for a church home. Diana, on the other hand,
didn't want to.
So we had, they asked, Alicia had and Jeannie had talked to us about saying to you, what would be good for your church to do different, or how do we grow into the future? How does our church grow into the future and that sort of thing? So Grace, I guess the best example of it is that you think that you're just like going to find the perfect home for you and you try and find where you are, but you know you're searching and you can't find what you're looking for. You know you need something different, but then someday you happen to stumble up on it. So we weren't looking for a gay-friendly church. We were just living our lives. We were attending a small church near us where we could walk from our home to church. They were open to all people, but we didn't talk about what that openness meant. And the music was horrible. And there was a very small church. There wasn't really a youth group for our children. And we knew we knew something different, but you know how when it's next door, it's so convenient. Sometimes you stay in places where you just shouldn't be. And so one night, our oldest daughter was in a community chorus in Ithaca, and I was with her down there, and Diana was at home with our youngest daughter. And then I was perusing. They wouldn't let us in because they were practicing, and they wouldn't let us in the auditorium yet. And so I was perusing I like to read all kinds of stuff. I'm the type of person, when I go to the museum, I look at every single written thing there. And Diana and our children are like through the first five rooms and come back, and I'm not out of the first one yet. And they're ready to go, and I'm still getting started. Well, I was looking for brochures, through the brochures, and I found the two St. Paul's Reconciling Ministries and the Basics, the two there. And quickly, I was on the phone. And what happened after that?
Jamie called saying, I think they like us here. I think we can come here.
And I was in tears waiting in the foyer there. Because when I was 5 years old, I went to an altar at an Assembly of God church. And I knelt and I cried. And I sang the song, Come Into My Heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. And from that very day, in Vacation Bible School, in a little town called Waxahachie, Texas, where I was born, I gave my heart to Jesus. And he never stopped making me his own. My feeling and hope for being in relationship with Christ never went away. And it didn't stop when I discovered that I was gay. It didn't stop through relationships that were broken, hearts that were broken. It didn't stop when churches asked me not to be part of their congregation because I was gay. And when I found St. Paul's that said all people were welcome, then my heart came alive again. And then when we are blessed to work in Tompkins County, where we have work, we're both social workers basically, but we're accepted in our work, where they have local law C that protects us just as we are. But the only place that we really couldn't be ourselves was in a place of worship. So we had to check our sexuality. We felt like we had to check our sexuality at the door. And when we found St. Paul's, then we came in relationship with people there. When we met Steve and Penny and Roland and the different people, and then we met Jeannie and we met Ted, and the work began through relationships. Now, we didn't start out wanting to do anything at the upper conference level. If we had known about the United Methodist Church and their stance on the way that they feel about gay people being in full inclusion, we probably wouldn't have been a part. But what we found was family first. And that's what you guys have always done. You have a brochure that talks about how inclusive you are. That's awesome. We went to our first convocation and happened to be in Denver, Colorado. And we found out there was more than a stripe on your sign. There was more than a flag that flies high. And we came back, and our church at that time had been probably, how long reconciling? Probably close to 10 years reconciling. And we did not have an active working reconciling group. Once a year, we would put together a little group to do some work, but we didn't have an ongoing working group because we're very fully immersed in our congregation. And we probably have close to 30 people, if all of us are there at once, that are gay and have families there. They're not interested in working for the greater cause, social justice. They want to be loved and know Jesus and build their families and welcome in that place. And that's awesome. So we began to do a work, and we bought T-shirts. We did a bumper sticker. We made sure that our brochures were up to date. Because it's been so long ago, they forgot to add the T. They didn't know to do that. We went back and added the T. Since then, in the last couple of years, they have added marriage equality to their church statement. So what they have said is, we will not be inclusive at all in any way so that people can be all inclusive. Your church has always been so gorgeous. Our church was in terrible need of being painted. We had built brand new bathrooms, but we still had a peeling sanctuary. I said, I don't care about sitting on a beautiful throne. I want to come into the throne of God and it be a gorgeous place to have a gorgeous conversation. Finally, we were able to put together funds to paint our sanctuary. And at that time, our pastor said, we can't include all people in this beautiful sanctuary unless we bring in marriage as well. Relationships are the things that matter. How are you going to, just by hanging a flag out front, it's not going to make the difference. People are going to see that flag. You have a great university. We have two great universities, but we're not doing the work we should be doing. At the same time, we have to figure out how to build relationships. Often people say, why do we need to be reconciling? Why do we need a big gay Sunday once a year? These are things we hear at our congregation as well after almost 20 years. And Diana really speaks to that great. Her passion has grown. She's very introverted overall, if you can't tell. There are two places that she really comes alive. And if you're willing, I'd like you to speak about that. First place, and she's more introverted today because she spent the last 3 days being extroverted on demand at annual conference. Those couple of places I would like for her to just talk about for a second, if you would, if you're willing.
So when people ask, why do we need to have
the microphone, they can't hear you.
What was the question?
Why do we need to be reconciled?
So people say, why do we have to have a Reconciling Sunday every year, and why do we need to have a statement to the community? And I come back with, if I don't know that your church is a safe place for my family and for me, I will not come into your church and worship, because I don't need any more discrimination. I just look for a safe place where I can be who I am and who God created me to be. When we went to St. Paul's, that was the first time that I ever held my partner's hand in a church. And people don't realize what it's like. Just imagine not being able to be who you are and feeling unsafe and not welcomed. So hanging a rainbow flag is awesome. That tells people that they can come in here and be who God created them to be and be safe.
And if you're looking for the purpose of being on the reconciling as a reconciling church, is because if you go to a different town, a lot of times people travel a long way and come to our church, and they'll say, "How did you find them?" And then you find them by how do we find them?
I forgot to mention that you can go on Reconciling Ministry Network website, and you can look up where you can find reconciling congregations and communities and worship in, I think, every state in the United States. Some are few and far between, but there is a safe place somewhere in other states where you can find a reconciling congregation to worship at on a Sunday morning if you're traveling.
So look for places to build relationships. Look for places for people to be born anew in your congregation. Look for places where people can bring their friends and not be ashamed. One of the things I remember that Penny talked about when we first met her is she had a hairdresser she would go to her hairdresser, and then she was talking about them wanting to become reconciling. And this person said to them, "What in the world, why in the world would you have ever gone there to start with if they weren't welcoming to people like me?" So, you know, this is the point of, you don't know where you're going to find people that need a wonderful place to come to God. It's not about coming to God if you're gay or if you're straight. It's about coming to God, period. It's about finding relationship to Jesus Christ that lasts for an eternity. And that eternity can begin right here in your congregations. Every year when we go get ready for annual conference, we're hurriedly trying to make enough stoles to be represented. We're trying to round up all the stuff that we meant to do starting the week after annual conference. But we say, I don't know. I just don't know if I can continue this fight another year. I just don't know if I can do it another time. Just standing there trying to represent hope is really hard. That new birth is going to come, really? Can we say that? We've been to 2 general conferences, and our hopes have been deflated each time. But the fact is that we get there, and then what happens? We meet with people who are just like us. We meet people who their children have, in the past year, have come out to them. We meet people in the last year that their children have come to them and said, "I'm transgender and I need a place to go and know that I'll be accepted." We meet parents that are hurting. We meet people that are full of love for each other. And we find even people who disagree from us are still part of our family. So this is the network that we would bring to you the Sunday after annual conference. We need to continue to build the hope by continuing to build family. Thank you for your time, friends.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing, Jamie and Diana. Friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, I want you to know I believe in you. I say I'm honored to be your pastor each Sunday because I actually mean it. The Holy Spirit is among us and lifting us to new heights and new things. I believe we can emerge out of our tombs and cocoons into something new and unexpected. I believe this because I feel and see that you are doing your best to live out Peter's words in Acts. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages. Peter said, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but expects from every nation." God does not show favoritism. Friends, continue to live this way. Continue to welcome and integrate new faces and gifts among us. I'm counting on all of you sitting out there to not stay quiet in this transformation, but to share your transformation with us, your new ideas with us, your spiritual gifts with us. I truly believe we are ready to emerge. We are ready for the next chapter, and we are ready to greet the unexpected with the love of Jesus Christ. And let us begin this journey together with a simple meal, the Lord's Supper. As we celebrate Holy Communion on this Pentecost day, we remember how the Holy Spirit filled the room, landing on each person. We ask that it will also fill this place and fill us with your love, your compassion, and your joy. We will be reading the words, Veni Sancte Spiritu, which remind us of our historical tradition of services spoken in Latin and simply mean, "Come, Holy Spirit." Would you join me now in this celebration? Come, Holy Spirit, from heaven shine forth with your glorious life. Veni Sancte Spiritu. The Spirit of the Lord be with you. Lift up your hands and hearts to the Lord. Let us praise and thank God for our lives. We praise God who lives and moves among us. It is right and good to praise the one who made us, redeemed us, and dwells within us. We give thanks for heaven and earth, for spirit and word, for creation and inspiration. You created, shaped, and formed us in your image. We turned from your promise of life and betrayed your gift of love. Yet you continue to love us despite our faults. Your Spirit continued to speak through prophets and teachers, proclaiming your word to all who would listen. And so, in praise of your unfailing love, we join our voices with your people across time and space as we proclaim their unending hymn. Come, Holy Lord, God of power and might, sing highest Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Veni Sancte Spiritu. Holy are you who created us, and blessed is the one, Jesus Christ, who redeems us. In baptism, your Spirit came down and claimed Jesus as your beloved child. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, your Spirit breathed life into a lifeless people. Good news was proclaimed, captives released, closed eyes opened, and oppressed set free. Through Jesus, you taught us to break the boundaries set before us by healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and eating with sinners. Jesus, your beloved child, became our Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and friend. Through Jesus, you made a new covenant with your people, sealed by water and Spirit. At the last meal before his death,
Jesus took bread and he blessed it. Here we go. And he blessed it in your name and gave it to those around the table. He invited them to take, eat, and remember his broken body. And at the end of the meal, he lifted the cup. He gave thanks to you and invited them to drink of the new covenant offered to all as an act of grace-filled forgiveness. Since his resurrection, your church has recognized your beloved in the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine. Filled with the power of your Holy Spirit, we remember your love expressed in Jesus' life. We remember and we offer thanks. We give all that we are and all that we will be as a living sacrifice as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Vene Sancte Spiritu. Pour the beauty and joy of your Holy Spirit upon your people and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Fill them with your presence that we might be your presence in the world. Through your Spirit, may this body and blood of Christ sustain us for the journey ahead. May we be the one in your name until Christ returns and we feast with you in heaven. Through Christ, with your Spirit and among your people, be all glory and praise you now and forever. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, from heaven shine forth with your glorious life. Vene Sancte Spiritu. And so, we are invited to the table. I'd like to just give a little bit of how the flow works before we get started, and our servers can come forward as I talk this through. So first, I'd like to share that all are welcome at this table. All are welcome to come and receive Holy Communion. There's no prerequisite, just come. Two, we have gluten-free bread only, which is also dairy-free, I learned. We have grape juice, only grape juice, all right? And so when you come forward, there'll be a couple different things you can options here. You'll have bread, they'll be cut into pieces, you take a piece. Now you can do two different things. One is you could dip it in the grape juice in the big cup and eat it, and that is called receiving Holy Communion by intinction. If you choose not to do that, you can just eat the bread right away and skip the big cup and go to the little cups and drink from the little cup and then set that empty cup into the basket. And so if you are on this side, our ushers will come forward and they'll kind of direct who goes, you know, like the line, the pews in a row, and you'll come forward this way and then you'll exit that way and then you come around and come sit back. If you're on this side, you come up this way and you'll exit this way. We've made room, the choir made room for you, so you can exit this way and go around and find your seat. So I think that's all the directions needed. I'm going to set these guys up, and ushers, you can start bringing our friends forward. Okay.
As we enter a time of giving, I'd like to remind everyone to please place your attendance slips that actually look just like those prayer slips that we handed in earlier into the plate as our ushers come down the aisle. I'd like our first-time visitors of the church to know that we don't expect a donation from you today. We are blessed that you are our guest, and we are grateful that you are here. Yet we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church, so as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, our donations, and our offerings. Please join with me in the unison prayer of dedication as displayed on the screen. God of great gifts, grant that we may not so much seek to have kindred spirits as to be a kindred spirit. Give us ears to hear the needs of those around us, arms to hold them when they need holding, eyes to see their pain or their joy, and hearts to feel it. God grant that we may not so much seek to be comforted as to comfort, to be loved as to love, to be enjoyed as to enjoy, or be thought of as to think of others. And most of all, help us to know that you are the kindred spirit whose love we can count on, time in and time out, time after time. Amen. Please remain standing and join me in singing Christ Has Broken Down the Wall as displayed on the screen, and then join me for a reception after the postlude with cake and cookies.
Christ has broken down the wall. Christ has broken down the wall. Let us join our hearts as one. Christ has broken down the wall. We're accepted as we are. We're accepted as we are. Through God's love, all they're reconciled. We're accepted as we are. Cast aside your doubts and fears. Cast aside your doubts and fears. Peace and love freely offered here. Cast aside your doubts and fears. We have bowed down on the wall. We will tear down every wall. God has called us one and all. Christ has broken down the wall. And down the wall.
Amen. First, I would like to thank Jamie and Diana for coming and just being so incredibly vulnerable. I'm grateful to both of you for sharing your story and telling us your experience. Second, there is cake back there, so I know it's been a long service, but you can sustain yourself with sugar and coffee. And finally, there, as you leave today, because it's our somewhat last day of Emerge, we have butterflies for everyone to take home and put in a potted plant or put outside in your garden. So please take one as you leave today. And I was gifted this beautiful butterfly. So, will you speak with me? Form us, hold us, open us, unfold us, unfurl us, untether us, uncurl us, uncrease us, unwrap us. Go now in peace to love and serve our God. Amen.